Hi, everyone. I'm Dominique.
And I'm Christina.
And we are your podcast hosts. And we are taking a little break between season two, right before we start season three. We thought it would be really nice for you to hear from Christina. If you check out a couple of months ago, I did the interview format and answered all of the questions that we asked our previous artists. You haven't gotten to hear from my co-host perspective yet. So today we've got Christina here, and she's going to tell us a little bit about herself.
All right. So I am from a little town called Ashburnham, Massachusetts. It's right up on the border of New Hampshire. Pre-COVID, I worked at Terrapin. And these days, my life is pretty low-key. I mostly just kind of read and do different fiber crafts. And I do some glass one day a week, pretty much, and live a nice, peaceful life with my partner and with my mom.
And your cats.
And my cats.
So will you tell them about when you started glass and what really got you into it? Because I think that the leap that you took into your glass life is a pretty impressive story.
Yeah, so my first experience with glass was around, I want to say around 2013. I took a class with my mom. It was just like a standard kind of blow your own class. And I totally fell in love with glass. Everything about it just sang to me, like, this is the thing. I had always kind of been an art kid, and it was just, I knew right then and there that that was what I wanted to always do. And a few years went by. I never took another class. I never did anything else even remotely involved in glass. I worked a bunch of crappy jobs that I hated. And then I was looking for a new path in my life. And I really wanted a fulfilling career. And I found a post on Facebook looking for part-time help internship kind of deal at Terrapin. And it said, no experience necessary. We'll teach you whatever as long as you're the right person. And I was like, what the hell? I was working like 50 hours a week at the time. And I went for this interview and I was totally scared. Honestly.
Wait, first of all, you were a manager at another position, yes, working 50 hours a week with benefits and everything, correct?
Yeah, I was managing a store. I was working a lot and I didn't like it. I learned a lot, to be honest. It taught me a lot of skills that I wouldn't have learned otherwise, like how to run a business. And I'm grateful for that. But I hated it. I didn't like telling other people what to do. But I loved everybody I worked with. And like, it was totally fine. It wasn't like the end of the world or anything, but I just wasn't fulfilled. And Dom offered me a job and she's like, well, we'll just kind of, I don't know if you're into doing flame working, but why don't you try it and see if you like it? And I was like, I don't even know what that is, but okay. And I didn't even know at the time that you could melt glass on a torch, to be honest. I had no idea that flame working even existed. And I really liked it. So I was like, okay, I'll do this. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I'll be really grateful to just get my hands on some glass. And then I started working. Instead of working 50 hours a week, I worked for Dom one day a week and wasn't really making much money, but I was so happy.
So make a note. So you left your full-time job for an internship and you took a leap of faith and you just did it.
Yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't have all the support I had in my life. I didn't do it with, like, I wasn't being totally reckless about it. I really definitely thought about it and talked about it and made a lot of really hard financial decisions. But it was the first time that I felt good about what I was doing. And then one day a week for a few hours turned into a full-time working my butt off and helping run the flame shop and teaching classes in the hot shop and helping run a gallery and doing everything under the roof that could possibly happen.
And which I appreciate you for.
And I mean, working all of those crappy jobs that I hated before really helped me be able to be that multifaceted and just kind of do whatever you needed me to do. And it felt good.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the business that you're creating. And I also want to talk a little bit about your past with your mom is an artist in her own right. And she did a lot of craft fairs and stuff. So I think that watching her and helping her with that growing up, I think that plus all of your experience with all your crappy jobs have helped you create your own business that you're working on now.
Yeah, totally. So my mom, when I was a kid, she was self-employed and she made cat toys and she did cat shows and pet shows and expos and all kinds of every single weekend. She was out doing some kind of craft fair or somewhere that she could sell what she was making. And during the week, she worked every single day. And I really saw how much she worked and how hard it was. But I also, I mean, I helped sometimes too. I had to go to some of these shows and help her lug in and out all the tables and crates of things. And, but I also saw how much flexibility it gave her and how she was able to do a lot of other things that other people weren't necessarily able to do because they worked for another business and they had a set schedule. That really appealed to me. But yeah.
Tell us about your business now.
Okay.
What's your glass name? So, what you doing?
My business is Magia Glass, and it is, I make glass in the hot shop and in the flame shop, and I mostly make different kinds of jewelry. Lately, I've been working on making antlers in the hot shop that are as close to life-size as I can get them to right now. and I don't know. I just kind of make whatever inspires me and whatever I'm kind of feeling in the moment. I don't really think about how something's going to sell necessarily. I'm just kind of making what calls to me to be made.
And can you talk a little bit about your witchy self? Because that is involved with a lot of work as well, right?
Yeah. So I have always been very like spiritual, and I am one of those people that collects and has a million crystals in my home and does tarot readings and all that kind of metaphysical stuff. And it's definitely something that helps guide me a lot. And I'm able to kind of stop and listen to kind of what, I don't know, the universe wants me to do, I guess. but I make things like wands, and I make hollow wands that I fill with different crystals and herbs, depending on what the intention is behind it. And I have done a lot of pendulum readings, and I make glass pendulums as well.
And lately you've been exploring into like different funny characters and things like that. So you've been going into a whole different side of things.
Yeah. I always loved cartoons even as an adult, I still watch cartoons sometimes. So it's just something that brings me a lot of joy, and I just have fun making cute little things.
Thanks for sharing all that. Mm-hmm. So do you want to get into some more deep dive stuff? Some of the things that I think are really special about you is the beautiful relationship that you have with your partner and the way that you're able to kind of help each other. And he's been supporting you a little bit through this time and supporting your glass journey. And you haven't been in that positive of relationships in the past. So I think that's cool to acknowledge that you have such a strong partnership right now.
Yeah. I mean, we pretty much are like totally in sync people, but he is beyond supportive. And when I wanted to quit my job, it was like an immediate, like, okay, what do we need to do to make it happen? It's never been a faltering support, and we always just talk things out. I honestly don't think we've ever had a real argument. And we've been together for almost 6 years now. So we always just kind of have discussions about our feelings and where we're at and figure out why we're feeling the way that we are and kind of go from there and figure out how to make it so that we aren't necessarily feeling negative in any way. And everything we have, we just kind of like financially, we don't like split things or anything like that. It's just what we have is what we have, and we make do with what we got.
And you have a really cool, unique living situation where you basically built out a condo out of your mom's house. You kind of have each other, but it's been a great way to survive through COVID as well, with you all in the same households, being able to help and support each other financially, physically, in all those ways.
Yeah, totally. And I'm really grateful for it even before COVID. It's just nice to, I mean, pretty much every other culture besides in the US, people live in multi-generational homes. And it's kind of weird, honestly, that we don't in the US. It's like, as soon as you're 18, you want to get out. And I mean, I did. When I was 18, I left, and I didn't really think that I wanted to be in the kind of living situation that I am now. But it definitely has been a good thing. And we all have our own space. I mean, like you said, we built like our own apartment space. We have our own kitchen, bathroom, what have you. We can go days without seeing one another, but we can also see each other every day if we want to. And it's kind of made us our default bubble with COVID happening too. So that's been good.
So I was hoping that you would be comfortable sharing some of the harder stuff. I know that we both deal with a lot of the same things that a lot of the people that we have interviewed have dealt with. And I thought maybe you could give us a little bit of your perspective on that, and also how you personally find ways to work through some of the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've dealt with depression since I was a little kid. It's just something that I have learned to live with, if that makes sense. It's always something that's there. It's never like totally gone. And I mean, some days are better than others. I would say that lately I've been having more good days than bad days. But when I have bad days, I kind of just let myself sit in it, to be honest. And maybe that's not like what the wellness gurus would tell you to do or whatever. But I just kind of wait in it and let myself feel all the feelings and acknowledge them. They are what they are. You can't just like pretend they don't exist, because then they're just going to keep existing. And I just kind of acknowledge them, maybe sleep for 3 days, you know, but mostly I'm able to just acknowledge it, sit in it for a little while, and move on. And having a schedule definitely helps me too. Having a reason to kind of make myself get up out of bed. So that's always helpful for me too. You know, having routines is really good.
So this podcast has helped so much through the pandemic because it's helped us create schedules and it's given us reasons to keep going.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I know every Thursday, 2 o'clock, we're going to be doing this thing and I need to get my butt out of bed. I need to drink some coffee. I need to drink some water. I need to eat some food and I need to be ready. And, you know, like pre-COVID, it was easier to keep a schedule because I had to physically go places. I had to actually put on pants.
God forbid.
You know, I'm not really looking forward to that part of not COVID life in the future. I do like wearing sweatpants every day. But yeah, having a schedule really helps me and it kind of gives me a little bit of purpose.
Just being somebody that's within your support network, I just want to highlight the one part that I think is so beautiful about you and your struggles is that you always acknowledge what you're feeling. And I think that that probably helps in your partnership with Pete. And I know that helps in our friendship is when you're having a bad day, you just acknowledge like, I'm just having some struggles today. And I think that is a beautiful, I don't even want to say coping mechanism. It's just a beautiful way to deal with the maybe chemical imbalances that you were born with, that we are all born with in some way and leaves us struggling with these ups and downs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to tell the people around me when I'm not doing so well, you know? And even if I'm not doing physically well or whatever, like, I just think it's really important that, especially, I mean, with you, especially if we're working in the hot shop, for example, and I'm not fully there, like, I need you to know that so that you know that I'm not necessarily quite on my game.
Yeah. And it allows me to like be able to be more gentle to you on some days or days that I know that you're feeling 100%. It allows me to maybe give you some of my weight if I'm not having such a good day.
Right. Exactly. And I guess like for me, it's just that communication. I mean, if my friends know that I'm not doing well for like a week in a row, then they kind of know like, hey, maybe we need to help you out a little bit, get you out of that rut. And I think a lot of times that's the hardest thing about depression is that people around you don't necessarily know because it's so taboo to talk about. It's just something that, you know, we don't want people to see the messy side. And society doesn't want to see the messy side. So we're so ingrained to not talk about when we're having a bad day, just grit and bear it and just get through it. But having the people around you know that you're not doing so well, you know, if I get snippy at a customer,
send her back.
You know, I mean, that doesn't typically happen, to be honest, but
no.
You know why, and you can kind of step in. If you didn't know why, then it would be like, what the hell's wrong with you? Why aren't you like your normal self? And it's just good to talk about.
Yeah. And also as somebody that struggles from depression and I'm not enough, if you weren't communicating that you're having a bad day, then I automatically take it internally and then I spiral and then we're all spiraling together and we have no idea why it began. So it's just easier to just put it all out on the table and then there isn't these, oh no, what did I do something to hurt her? Or,
right. And I totally do that too. That's like one of my big things that I do. And like, even just like somebody not replying to me instantaneously, I'm like, did I say the wrong thing? So just like saying that I'm not doing well helps other people around me not feel like they're not doing well towards me.
Or just knowing that if you had a problem, you would just say it outright and then we could work through it.
Another thing that I know that you struggle with that we ask people a lot about is imposter syndrome. That's one of our favorite questions within the podcast. And that's something that we all battle with. And I just thought maybe you could give us like any kind of enlightenment that you have found within yourself or that you found within these conversations with the 16 other artists that we've interviewed up to this point. And we pretty much ask this question for every single one of them.
I know. And you know, I ask it every time because I'm like, please, I hope you have something to give me.
Give me a piece of your power.
And like, to be honest, I don't have any insight or wisdom about it because I constantly struggle with it. Sometimes like it's hard acknowledging that you're doing good when you're constantly surrounded by and talking with people who are, and I don't want to say this like as like a weird thing, but like so much further. If that makes sense. Like I feel like, I mean, I've only been working in glass for like 3 years now, almost 4 years. So for me, it's hard sometimes to acknowledge that like I'm not at the same point that like you are in my own career, in my own skills even. And it's hard for me to be like, yes, this is good work. Like, and I think that the only thing that helps me through that is just to keep doing it.
Totally.
I mean, it's hard. It's just something that's hard and you just have to kind of work through it. And just keep doing the thing and let yourself get better.
Yeah.
Give yourself the grace to not be perfect.
Never perfect.
Which anybody who knows me knows that I cannot deal. And I mean, glass for me has been really good for that because I have to finish. You know, you can't just like keep flashing a piece for eternity. You have to eventually finish it.
Yeah, you got to put it in the kiln, put it away.
You got to put it away and you got to just brush yourself off and try again and do it again and again and again and again. And then eventually you'll kind of just look at, you like stop looking at the social media and just look at your first thing and then your most recent thing. I mean, I keep the first of everything I make. And that really helps me just acknowledging that like, you're not in competition with other people. Like you're just in competition with yourself to be the best self that you can be.
And like, what would your definition of success be?
Making enough money to live and make glass every single day.
Bum, bum, bum. All of our dreams.
You know,
that's like, all we want.
All I want. Like, I don't, like, I guess for me, like, it wouldn't even really matter if people were buying my work if like, I was just somehow making enough financially to be able to just create whatever I wanted. That would be success to me, having the space and the freedom to just make whatever I want, whenever I want.
And just to have like basic life necessities.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking like living in luxury or anything, but like paying my bills on time would be cool.
Yeah. Like taking a little financial weight off of Pete.
Yeah. Maybe go on vacation once a year. Like,
yeah. Totally. Totally. Anything else that you want to say? It was beautiful.
I'm just trying to think of other questions we've asked people even.
Maybe you want to share to everybody what the podcast has meant to you besides how it's helped with the schedule. Like what do we talk about this all the time, but will you just share with everyone like what we see this growing into or how it's helped us?
Yeah. I mean, hearing that other people in the industry, like people that I look up to, that I'm like, wow, you make such beautiful work and you're what I would consider to be successful. And hearing that everybody else deals with the same things. Honestly, it just makes you feel less alone. It makes you feel like maybe I'm not so weird. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot to be said for solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
And for everybody else bearing their soul and just sharing all these things that they struggle with and seeing that literally all of us struggle with it. It's good to talk about. Just mm-hmm. like earlier when I was saying, like, I just acknowledge my feelings and sit through it and let people know around me how I'm doing. It's the same thing. It's just normalizing it and talking about it. And eventually, I don't know, maybe someday we won't all be suffering artists.
Mm-hmm. Or at least not silently suffering.
Right. I mean, it's always like a trope that artists are always suffering, and that's the way that great art is made, you know, but like, does it have to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or I think our sensitivity is what draws us to this path. And then our sensitivity is what also brings us down.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm super sensitive, you know, I'll remember something negative somebody tells me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, totally.
You know, but, and like, even just like things around in the world that happen that are negative, but it's just like talking about, I mean, like systemic racism and like all these other things, like talking about mental health is so important to just make people acknowledge that it's real, that pretty much everybody's dealing with it in some way, and just stop talking about it like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. And start doing something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's like this toxic view of just be happy and just get over it. Just throw all that out.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not that kind of person. I mean, going for walks outside in nature will help your anxiety somewhat. But like, really, if you're dealing with these things every day, your whole life, pretty much, like, is going out for a nature walk really going to be the cure? Mm. You think that like people haven't tried that?
Like, yeah. I think it's little things, and it's also creating a safe space for you to feel those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's both. It's the little things, you know, stretching and being mindful of your body and moving. Drinking water and, I don't know, eating, like, vegetables. You know? So, like, all those things are important for your mental health, but, like, so is talking about it and making it normal, and so is being sad. You totally. Know?
Mm-hmm. Leaving space for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And we'll be back again podcasting the first Friday of April. So we're reaching out to more artists, and we're going to have 8 more interviews every Friday starting on Friday, April 2nd. So we hope to see you all then, and have a nice little break with us.
If you love this podcast and want to help support its creation, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/connectedinglass. Also, please consider joining our Facebook group, Connected in Glass Podcast, where you can continue following the artists that we've interviewed in previous episodes.